Welcome to Webcology. Webcology is the show that takes you into the deepest and darkest ends of the ecosystem on the internet. Our guides will take you on a journey into web marketing and bring you the experts and the information so that you can further explore the web marketing world. Now, here are the hosts of Webcology, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey, they did that to us. Wow. Welcome to Webcology for Thursday, February the 21st. They kind of snuck up on us there. It seems that we're live on air. This is Jim Hedger from MetaMen.com and Dave Davies from Deanstock Dash Inc. And we're continuing our series on the 10 major steps of search engine optimization. Today we're going to be talking about content optimization. But hey, Dave, as I understand it, it's a special day for you today. For yes, everyone out there in radio land, it's Dave Davies' 35th birthday today. So on behalf of everyone here at MetaMen.com and from everyone at Webmaster Radio, and I'm sure from all of our listeners, Dave, brother, happy birthday. You're doing yeoman duty working today.
Thanks a lot, Joe. I don't know how you found out and who the dirty rat was, but yeah, or that darn Facebook thing.
Oh, I think you know her pretty well. Your wife gave me a call about 5 minutes before we went on air.
Oh.
Yeah, you never know her out of your sight. She does this sort of stuff behind your back, Dave.
Well, as long as that's all she's doing behind my back. Beautiful. Well, thanks a lot, Jim. Thanks a lot, and I can no longer claim to be in my early 30s. So.
No, you're getting up there, brother. You're getting up there. You're almost as old as Deck.
I see. I had plausible deniability before, but now, no, it's gone.
Yeah, no, never trust anybody over 35. Anyway, it's been an interesting week. Not a huge amount of news happening in the news section of the SEO world, mostly because Yahoo and Microsoft have dominated. But last week, you had an issue with business.com. I was wondering if you had any updates on that.
We sure do. And, what had happened, just for our listeners who weren't on last week, was a client had subscribed to the paid listings in business.com. They'd been feeding straight through to Yahoo. Yahoo had picked up essentially the business.com listing as our client site. So the client who's caching it at 16K on every engine, and their page actually is 16K, was cashing in at 84, rankings just totally tanked. As of this morning, we, of course, immediately upon discovering this, canceled everything with business, called them up. They were very, very helpful, dropped the feeds to Yahoo. And as of this morning, the rankings haven't bounced back, but the listing is proper now. So we're just going to be waiting for Yahoo now to kind of sort out that, yes, the real page actually is their real page. And hopefully by next week, and I'm sure the client hopes even more, we'll be able to report back more on the reparation process. But it's definitely an interesting thing to sort of monitor going through. Unfortunate for the client, but they're doing still well on Google, so they're not really crying any rivers. And an interesting thing for us to have a chance to monitor, and it's the first time I've encountered this one. So, yeah, definitely something interesting, and I'll keep our listeners posted.
Well, yeah, and I think myself and a number of others will be interested in seeing the write-up on that when you eventually have this settled and you get this down on paper.
We certainly will.
Sticking to the same sort of subject, how's the Microsoft competition going?
Just a little dig there, eh? We're not winning. Woke up this morning. It's an interesting one to monitor. We're admittedly I'm not winning. But at the same time, it's been really a unique experience to monitor, with so many sites brand new, launching in. The results, the first page results are changing on a daily basis. And I don't mean changing like things are shuffling a position or two, but where, we have two sites entered and there's one we're monitoring specifically because one we're using gray hat, one we're using just white hat, and I'll reveal which is which, at the end. The white hat one keeps bouncing. It'll be on, sitting in position 4 or 5, and then all of a sudden it's down on, page 8, and then the next day it's up at page 2, and then it's back on page 1 again. It's really interesting to watch how Google's treating so many brand new sites targeting a phrase that really was previously un, untargeted. So if nothing else, it's a really interesting learning experience. But we have a couple more tricks sort of waiting in the back burners here. And of course they'll be targeted more towards the gray hat site. So it'll be interesting to see, but they have made a no black hat tactics rule, which is great. So, we're kind of getting to push the envelopes on one of our entry in there, but, just to see what tactics. I'm fingers crossed. My prediction would have been our white hat one will beat out our gray hat one, but, that may not be the case in such a short term, one month competition.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how that one turns out. It'll be interesting to see the tactics used by whoever wins in the end, whether that's your entry or somebody else's entry. ComScore results came out. What did you see there?
They did, and it was really a whole bunch of nothing. Other than the fact that the number of searches was very, very significantly higher. In January over December, we're dealing with almost double-digit increases, 8.9% increase in search volume between December and January. So, as far as I'm concerned, that's pretty huge, especially given that we had the sort of Christmas, Hanukkah, holiday rush through in December. But as far as the individual search engines go, Google went up by 0.1, Microsoft. Held steady at 9.8, so good for them, which really means they got more searches, their search because of the search volume increase. They had an increase of 8.9% in their search volume. As far as market share goes, they held steady. AOL and Ask both had little increases. Love to see that from Ask. Good work, boys. And the only one that took any hit of any consequence is Yahoo, which took a 0.7 drop in search market share, so not good for them. But fortunately for them, with the increase, their total search volume actually increased by 5.5%. But their percentage of the market share dropped.
Wow, that's and this is a sad time to see stuff like that for Yahoo too. Especially given Microsoft is like the Borg. They're just not giving up on this, are they? They're coming at them again and again and again. Now, predictably, we're going to proxy fight. That's the latest status in the Microsoft will absorb Yahoo saga. Bill Gates earlier this week said, hold it, $31 per share is a great offer. It's better than you're going to get from anybody else. And if you don't like it, you can talk to your new board of directors about it when we get our slate appointed at the next annual general meeting, which I think comes up in June. So things are going to get uglier and uglier on the Yahoo and Microsoft front. Culminating today, actually, today I saw a story that I thought was just hilarious. Yahoo is trying to defend its employees now by offering these massive, massive severance packages in case of takeover. You know, anywhere from 4 to 24 months worth of salary. So if Microsoft does get a hold of Yahoo, they're going to find it's a little more expensive to deal with just with employee retention, employee management than they expected it to be.
Well, it must be fine for Yahoo to... Pardon me?
Oh, I said Microsoft's indeed.
Well, it must be nice for them to get an opportunity to spend other people's money. You know, everybody's got to like that. I think in the end, would Microsoft even want to clean the slate over at Yahoo? Obviously there'd be some people, probably more from the upper levels, that would have to go in a Microsoft takeover of it. So there would be some buyouts, but I don't know that they're going to want to do a mass series of layoffs or firing, certainly not any bigger than we've already seen out of Yahoo in recent days. So I don't know that this is a big play that's going to really affect Microsoft's interests, in Yahoo. It's totally spot on. This is something that's up to the shareholders. It's not up to, one or two people over at Yahoo. This is a shareholder decision. Microsoft has every right, and it is a fair offer. I'm entirely biased because I just want this to go through because I think it'll make the search landscape a lot more interesting and actually put a real competitor back in the game, somebody who has at least half of Google's search volume when you combine the two. So I'm really hoping for it, just if for nothing else than interesting news. But
I think I'm inclined to agree with you, and apparently so are many of the people who are attending SES London that's happening over in the UK right now. just trying to find the blog that I saw this in. I think it might have been Lee Auden's, but at the same time, it may well have been Andy Beal. And I apologize to both Lee and Andy for this, but one of them wrote that the majority of people at Search Engine London, in the unscientific straw polls that folks like us always pull, they're also for the deal. And it seems to me that the search marketing world, for the reasons that you just outlined, we want to see competition in the marketplace. We want to see this move forward, and we want this distraction out of our lives. Seriously, yeah. Nothing is moving forward in search right now until Yahoo and Microsoft work out their issue. There's going to be purchases and acquisitions, and there's going to be a slightly changing landscape. But seriously, it just feels like the industry is sitting, holding its breath, waiting to see what happens next.
Well, that's it. And I mean, if it doesn't happen now, okay, we got to go through. You know, you're Canadian. It's like a separation referendum here. It's like, okay, it doesn't go through once. Okay, now we just got to wait again till another vote comes up.
So what you're saying, this is gonna be just like the great Quebecois referendum, never endum, where for our American audience, at least once a decade, the province of Quebec has a vote on separating from Canada, and it tends not to, as it's still part of Canada. But the rest of Canada waits with bated breath, knowing it's coming up again and again and again. And Dave, you think the same is going to happen with Yahoo?
I think it'll. I mean, we've already seen one push for it. A little over a year ago now. Now we're seeing another push for it. If it doesn't go through, how long until the next push? It's obvious that Microsoft wants this property, rightfully so. They have the money to buy it. They've made a fair offer. If that for some reason doesn't pass, you know, I'm sure it's only a matter of another, probably another year, and we're going to see another push for it until eventually, Yahoo will have laid off more people. Their market share will continue to decline, and finally they'll give it, and Microsoft will be paying out at, $20 a share instead. So if they're smart, I think they'd go for it, and I don't want to go through this over and over again. Like you said, just get this distraction over, get it done, get some real competition in the search marketplace. I think Microsoft and Yahoo would make a really interesting combination if they do it right, and if Microsoft doesn't just try and take over full control, but leave some of the divisions up to the fine folks at Yahoo and just sort of integrate them a little further. Provide a really.
Well, I'm going to be direct with it. If they don't do it, they're both dead.
There you go.
there's just no way.
You know, a valid point.
Okay,
valid point.
I just got message from studio that we have our two guests. Online and waiting to go. We're going to have to take a break first, but folks, this is Jim Hedger from MetaMen.com and Dave Davies from Beanstalk Dash Inc. This is Webcology on WebmasterRadio.fm. Stick around. We got a segment on content optimization with Jade Carter and Alice Linsky, both SEOs at MetaMen.com. We'll be back in about 2 minutes here on WebmasterRadio.fm. Stay tuned.
Sit tight and don't move. Webcology. We'll be back after this short break.
A rose by any other name would still be the same.
Move over, Shakespeare. You need to differentiate yourself from your competition. Do it by aligning yourself with a company who has earned the trust of Jupiter Media, the NHL, and Lionsgate Films, among others. Moniker.com is the most secure ICANN-accredited register on the planet, offering you domain registration, hosting, domain sales, and acquisition services. Wrap that up with 24/7 support. That's your winning combination. MONIKER. More than a name.
Hello. Welcome to our website.
Website traffic isn't about paying for clicks.
Okay, so I guess we're going to wait until everyone shows up and then we'll...
It's about having the right content. So while you're searching for more traffic, the folks at InfoSearch Media are creating the content people are searching for. With InfoSearch Media, you can get more traffic for less money than PPC. So the next time you need to speak to your customers...
Welcome to our website.
They're already searching for you. InfoSearch Media. Get content that really clicks.
Hey, this is Danny Sullivan from the Daily Search Cast. You know, we love bringing you the news every day, and that's made possible by the sponsorship of BruceClay.com. They've just made Inc. Magazine's list of the fastest growing private businesses. They've exhibited and sponsored at my conferences from the very beginning. Bruce has got that long-standing search engine relationship chart, had been out there with the code of ethics, been a search engine expert in the field for ages. But did you know that Bruce Clay can do more than help you with just SEO? They can do PPC, web analytics, web design, marketing strategy, promotion, and branding. Everything you need for success in the online marketplace, you can check it out from the professionals at Bruce Clay Incorporated. For over 10 years, offices worldwide, they've got answers you need. Check them out today at BruceClay.com.
Bruce Clay Incorporated.
Strike Point.
Talk about the new Wikipedia search engine. I had a play with it earlier on today, and it's like, they could have done so many cool things, but what they decided to do was just take Nudge, and then by using Nudge, you get all the little buggy bits and the backdoor bits that was in Nudge originally. I'm looking, and I just can't see which way this is going to go. I mean, I know that the results are going to be sucky because of the fact that it is a good product. It's just, it's very, very basic.
Strike Point. Live broadcast Mondays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. We're on demand anytime inside the International Marketing Channel, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Find Webmaster Radio now on Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter. Add us today from the WebmasterRadio.fm homepage.
Commercials off. Now back to Webcology, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Welcome back to Webcology here on WebmasterRadio.fm. It's Thursday, February the 21st. This is Jim Hedger from MetaMen.com and Dave Davies from BeanstalkDashing.com. And we're joined by two of the two search engine specialists from MetaMen.com, Jade Carter and Alex Linsky. Jade and Alex, welcome to Webcology.
Good morning.
Hi, guys. Good to be here.
Good. We got both of you. Excellent, excellent, excellent.
Rock.
Now, I'm going to have to take a step back from my usual prominent place as an interviewer because, as listeners know, Dave and I have been doing a 10-part series on search engine optimization, and we've been accompanying the series with companion articles in WebProNews.com, and I wrote today's article, so I really can't interview myself, so I'm going to hand this over to Dave, and I think... Dave, oddly enough, you're interviewing MetaMen today.
Well, it's always a pleasure, and you know, we got some fine folks here joining us, and certainly knowledgeable in this area. So, let's launch in here. Obviously, I have a number of questions. For people who don't know, normally we post the articles or the accompanying articles to this show up on the WebProNews homepage. Now, as it turns out, Chris over there didn't get it. It will be up shortly. But in the meantime, it is over on the MetaMen blog. So, Jim, if you want to give the address that our visitors can go to read the article today.
Oh, yeah, I've already posted that up into the chat channel.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, so, yeah, for all of our listeners, it's an important tie-in and an absolutely great article. Fortunately, I get the opportunity to sort of read them all kind of ahead of time. It's a long one, but how can you summarize content in anything less than 2,500 words? Is that about accurate there, Jim?
Well, actually, I did it in 2,472.
That's correct. Okay, so let's just launch right in here. Jim, let's start with you since you wrote the article here, and then we'll tie in with Jade and Alex and sort of their impressions and sort of some of the areas that they may think are more or less important than you are. If you can give us sort of a quick summary, what are the main areas that you're counting as content, and how do you prioritize them when you're optimizing a website?
Well, content can be, I guess, most loosely defined as all things on page. Anything that the search engine optimizer sees on the monitor in front of them, going from the title, meta description, the actual text that you see appearing on the page, and visible links, the internal links and links leading to other sites off the page. Now, I'm not talking about incoming links. Yeah, I'm not talking about incoming links. It's links going off the page. And that's the area that I would define as content.
Now, in the article itself, what would you say in regards to sort of the different priorities here, and sorry, it glitched out for about 15 seconds there, so I'm assuming that I didn't miss the 15 seconds where you discuss this here. The first thing you start out with, I mean, you start out with a classic sort of comment that the content is king. And, of course, this is exactly what the search engines are looking for. I'm sure all of us agree to that. Let's actually, rather than directing this at you, Jim, let's head towards Alex here to start out with, and just see if there's some total agreement among everybody that I have the privilege of interviewing today. The first area you really get into regarding content is the titling. Now, what sort of practices, what are the best practices that people can use when titling? Is shorter better? Is just sort of free thought, and this is towards Alex to start with here. What's your titling formula?
Yeah, generally with page titles, I would obviously uniqueness for each and every page on the site. Every page has to have a unique title there. And also it's got to be specific and relevant to the actual page, the content on the page. And then you can basically start getting into, obviously, the keywords that are relevant for the content within the page. So for me, generally, it's relevance and uniqueness in a page title.
Now, this is commonly used, or a common question, at least, it's debated often. I'm going to direct this to Alex again. What is a optimal page title to you? How many words is a good title? How many keywords do you want to put into this title?
Generally, I look at, for example, search snippets that are returned on Google and gauge how many words are actually shown within a snippet that Google returns. You're probably looking at 6 to 8 words, possibly, I would say. It'd be an optimal. Anything more than generally 6 words gets cut off within a snippet. So that tends to be the sort of limit as far as length of the page title that I usually try and go for.
Now, Jade, I'm going to move this question to you here. What is the, when you are titling a page, getting your keywords, let's assume that you're going to go with, for argument's sake, a 6-word title. How important, in your opinion, is having these keywords, whatever the primary keywords are for the page, having them early on in the title as opposed to near the end of a title, in a title that's only 6 words?
Yeah, good point, Dave. You're dead right there. If you want to rank in a competitive area, it's got to show up first off, right off the bat. All you really have to do is to kind of dial up a competitive key phrase, have a look at the listings, and just look what everyone else is doing. It's there in plain daylight. First, bang off in the page title. You want your most prominent, most competitive keywords there. Personally, I try not to repeat any 2-word phrase at all again in the page title. Sometimes, just based on the marketing terminology that's used, the keyword list, you could have 30 or 40 that you're optimizing for. You'll have some single word repetitions through there, but capping that at about 60, 70 characters, main keywords first, that's a pretty basic formula.
Now, I'm going to direct this, Jim. You may, or we're still not 100% sure, but I know you're at least going to be a major part of. Further in our series, we're going to be covering a little bit on conversion optimization as it relates to SEO. So I'm going to direct this question to you, but it is related to titles. We've sort of heard that the keywords, important to get them sort of front and center from an SEO standpoint. Now, if it's going to read a little less than optimal, how do you weigh off that difference between maybe moving the primary keyword phrase down a little bit for branding purposes or for the conversion of that title?
Well, there's 2 things that I think SEOs have to be looking at when they're creating content. One is they're creating content to get a good first page search engine ranking for the site they're working on. But more importantly, they're creating content to convince a search engine user to select that link, to select that page. This is the page that I want to go to. So getting the keywords in the title is extremely important, and as Jade said, getting them as close to the beginning of the title is really important. But if you have to jiggle words around a little bit, if you have to rewrite a sentence for better marketing copy or rewrite the title for better marketing copy, I would err towards the side of marketing copy over making sure that the keyword phrase is the very first and second of the words in the title, because I want to convince the surfer. I have a number of other tools to get the placement besides the title, and I want to convince the surfer that this is the link for them to click.
Now, on that tangent, you cover in the article as well, so I'm going to direct this one to Jim, and then I have another question for a more global question. But you cover then descriptions, which, you know, some may include that in content, some may not, because it's visible in the SERPs, but not in the in the actual page itself. On the area of conversions there, would you say the description tag is more important from a conversion standpoint than from an SEO, any SEO value that it may have, or I guess not conversions, but click-through rate?
Absolutely. Absolutely, I think it's more important. I don't think that there's a tremendous value in the meta description from an SEO standpoint. You're going to be getting your keywords in your body text. You're getting your keywords in through your titles, and you're getting your keywords in through anchor text. So throwing them in the metas where nobody but the bots see them anyway isn't a huge SEO bump, but the meta description is often used, especially by Google, as the precy, the short paragraph that you'll find appearing underneath the link or the reference link on the search engine results page. So if you have a well-written meta description, that will often appear underneath the link, and that may be the text that helps the search engine user decide to click that link. So it's more important for marketing than it is for actual search engine optimization. But as a content writer, I find I feel an obligation to include a snappy meta description in all the content I deliver to my clients.
Well, you know, and I mean, based on what the search engines do, it just as a natural extension, you need your keywords in that meta description so it shows up as the description on the search results anyway. So fortunately, that sort of covers itself. Now, I want to make sure, because this is a huge, huge area, and I want to make sure we don't run out of time. So I'm going to direct another question over to Alex here. But let's move straight to what is not even discussed as whether it's part of content or not, and that is the actual content of the page itself. Now, which elements, Alex, would you say are the most important, be them H1s, bolding, italic, link, or anchor text? How would you prioritize these as the weight they're given to this by the search engine?
I would probably start with the main H1 heading as being important, probably the most important, together with also linking text as well. I would think they are the most important considerations. Obviously, trying to get related keywords within those elements is the aim there. Every page usually should have a main H1 heading, and then obviously you can split the paragraphs of content. You can insert subheading H2 headings within in between those. But no, definitely the main H1 headings and linking text would usually be my priority things that I would look at on a page.
Now, Jade, we discussed the heading tags there. When you and the use of H1, H2, etc. When would it be? You know, obviously we've seen spammers H1 the crap out of everything. Doesn't work anymore. What is a good practice when you need to use multiple headings? How do you do this properly so you're not triggering anything and you're really using them the way that the search engines and the visitors are expecting them to be used?
Yeah, I hear you. I've seen a lot of that as well. The old masthead H1 with the text indent was a fun one to see. and it wasn't so the fact that it was being used incorrectly. It was just like, you know, you're not utilizing it right. A heading's a heading. I mean, basically, when I look at and we're just looking at on-page content. We're not looking at the source code at all. For any content page, I like to liken it, to kind of throw back to, say, newsprint. You know, if someone comes to your site based on just, you know, the bots are crunching through the content and they see based on prominence of certain phrases, they're ranking you for something, and they arrive at a page and it's just paragraphs and paragraphs of text. It's dead boring. It's going to get stale. It just gets boring. So by the use of, you go ahead and use your H1, okay? It's probably been nerfed, you're right. But segment your content. You know, allow them to headline scan so they can zero in on some of the meaningful content. And in that way, you can utilize your secondary headings per each kind of body of content and allow them to nail off what really means a lot to them. And within that those blocks of content, you're also textually linking, you know, one or two really important words that relate to some other high-value page within the site. So I'm not off headings at all, but, you know, we don't place... I think it needs to be used appropriately, and that's kind of some of the strategies that I use, just to break up the page a bit, make it more fun.
Yeah, man, no, just to add to that, if you don't mind me just jumping in there, Jade, we know that the spiders are going to be finding the keyword phrases we're putting in the body text. Using H1s and H2s, I mean, there's ways that you just can totally overdo it and really, really do damage to a client's page. So I'm absolutely with Jade on this. Treat it like a newspaper. You're using it for headline and emphasis, but don't overdo it.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And those secondary pages, you can kind of go a little more into spilling out the content because you know by the fact that the user has clicked on that particular secondary heading that's topically relevant to what they want to see, they're probably going to spend a little more time reading through the content. So it's more UI usability as well as the SEO aspects there.
Now, I'm going to jump in here with just, and I'm going to direct this to Jim, because you seem to be, you're the person I seem to be asking the questions of the bridge between marketing and the actual content optimization here. And I'm getting noticed here from the booth that we're going over time. So after this, I think we'll head to commercial. I'm going to beg the booth for just a little bit more time. But Jim, just to cover this one really quickly here, when you can't, obviously you're going to hit pages that you can't hit. The keyword densities that you're trying to get, you can't get the content exactly as you want. How important is specific keyword densities, specific H1 tags, in the big picture when we know that links carry so much weight?
I'm sorry, you know what? I was just getting messages from the booth. Could you rephrase the question really quickly?
No problem. In those situations where you can't hit the keyword densities, for whatever reason, you can't get your keyword densities right, you can't use all the headings in the way you would, where you can't do the on-site optimization exactly the way you might like, how much weight is that given when you can't do that in those scenarios? When we know that links carry so much weight, what is the strategy? Do you just dump on more links? Do you, talk to your client and go with full redesigns? What would be the steps that you would normally take with a client in those situations?
Man, that's a very difficult question to answer because every client is so unique and so different. Off the top of my head, I can give you options, but I can't say we would do this or that. Again, because every account that we deal with is so very unique. One way of dealing with that is creating more content. Just start putting pages on the back end of their website, relevant topical pages, and find a way to make that link into the content that you really want ranking. Another way is to add content to the existing pages. Just make them twice as long. You got to go to your, if you can't do either of those, you have to go to your toolbox and look at links, look at titles, look at meta descriptions. There's always a way to rephrase a page. If you're not a creative writer or you don't have a creative writer on staff, find one. There's always ways to do it. The question is, what tool is necessary for the job?
The client also has to trust you as the SEO agency as well to come to you and say, look, man, we need content blocks here. You know, let's strategize a best of practices approach that works for marketing as well. So we can inject a small bit of content here, and start linking around. We'll provide a few examples and work together on that. And it's a real compromise. They have to bend often, but, sometimes not. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I'm going to draw.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just bouncing from question to question because I keep getting noticed from the booth, and it looks like they're being kind, extending us a few more minutes here, so we're going to skip the break that I was talking about earlier. I'm going to direct a question to Alex. I may extend it to the rest of you, though, quickly. What's the importance of having multiple pages on your site all covering the same topic? And with this question, I'm thinking you can see search results where we have sites with 20 pages in the top 10. We have sites with 100 pages in the top 10. How important is it to have a large-scale site with a lot of information on one topic? And in that, I'm referring to when you're just targeting, you know, there's one key term, you're trying to get it on your homepage, but you're trying to wrap it all in and build a relevancy with a lot of pages on the same thing.
I think it all boils down to how competitive the actual target market is. Obviously, there's a lot of, you know, markets out there that which have extremely high competition, which you will, you know, tend to require a lot of pages on one particular topic or one particular, you know, around one particular keyword phrase. And then conversely, there is keywords out there which, you know, one or two pages built around with content built around it will position well. And then, yeah, it's just a matter of, you know, checking out what competition there is and then making a judgment of how much actual content number of pages you actually need to effectively compete for that particular phrase.
Now, Jade, I'm going to adjust this question just a little bit when I sort of send it off to you. If we're looking at sort of a future scenario, might be kind of going on at this point, certainly going to get stronger, of Google and the search engines sort of monitoring a visitor, seeing them go off to a site, how important will it be to have, obviously it's always important to have good compelling content that's going to keep your visitor, but how important in the search engine algorithm do you think it's going to be to have a site with a variety of different pages, keeping the interest and basically keeping a visitor on your site for extended periods of time in the overall ranking algorithm?
I think it's a big deal, and I'll just jump directly to what I'm meaning. It took me a while to get on board because of all the intense link spam that erupted with the blogosphere in the beginning, but now that everything's been kind of clamped down a lot, it's the blog man. It's basically, if you have a single topic that you're going after, you just have to have enough quality copywriting on board where you can provide daily, weekly, new content that's fresh and absorbing. That gets people coming back, man, and that allows you to build multiple new pages based on a single topic, but it varies from day to day, and it's all good, and people love it. I think they see the traffic that comes repeatedly, and it, as it incrementally grows, you're just going to rank better.
And Jim, if I can distract that to you a little bit, obviously, you know, we've been at the SES conferences together. You know my love of personalization and how this kind of wraps into it. What's your take on this? Obviously, I have a strong opinion, so I'll keep mine to myself.
You know what? We're running out of time right now, and I'm really glad we were able to get that question in because there's a couple things I'd like to say on that. When I think of, and there's a lot of wild cards that are being thrown at content creators now. One of them is personalization. The other is regionalization of search results. Now, when you're working for a client as a content writer or as an SEO, you have to keep in mind that different locations will produce different results in the search engine result pages for the same keyword phrase. For instance, a search for blue suede shoes in Memphis, Tennessee is almost certainly going to produce different results than the same search conducted in Oak Bay, British Columbia. Blue suede shoes are slightly more significant to folks in Memphis, Tennessee for obvious reasons. And you know what? The search results should be different. There is no Carl Perkins Museum in Oak Bay, British Columbia. While there is one in Memphis, Tennessee, blue suede shoes should bring up a reference to the great hit song. So there's a regionalization of search results there. As Google gets better and better and better at pinpointing who is doing the search, who is conducting a search, it's also getting better and better at tailoring the results based on their interests. So what do you do as a content creator? What tools do you have to work with if knowing full well that a search in Singapore is going to be different than the same search done in Sydney, even though they're both in the South Pacific. Here at MetaMed, we use a tool called Inquisit. And actually, interestingly, Inquisit was developed by MetaMed SEOs, and it's now become a standalone company, a standalone analytics tool, and it's just getting into, really getting into its own now. SEOs and SEMs are learning about Inquisit. And what Inquisit does is it gives us an indication of what search phrases are performing well in different regions. Like most search rank checkers will give you an indication of search rankings conducted in the region, the computer that the ranking software was running on, localized search. Inquisit instead goes through log files. So it shows search queries and searchers from everywhere in the world and how the site or the page that they came to is ranked on a search engine in one location versus how it's ranked on a search engine in another location. This gives us a really good indication of what we should be targeting and which regional markets we should be targeting. So when I create content and I think about personalization, I want to know where those people are, and I want to create content for the highest performing markets. And again, for that, we use Inquisit.
And you know what? It's going to sound like a plug because, of course, you're working for that company. I'll as an outside person, and actually a competitor of your guys' in the city here, I will say it is a really good product. Our listeners should check it out. It does give some really, really, really cool statistics. I've used it on a couple sites now. It is great for that. But you know what? We're going to be hung, and our show will be canceled if we don't close up.
They wouldn't do that to us, would they?
Well, you know what? If we start dipping into the next show, I don't think they'll be happy, or they'll just start hitting that button off and then not let us go over by the few minutes they've allotted us today. So,
okay. Should I take us out?
You might as well.
Okay, well, I'm jumping back into my show host seat away from the interviewee seat. And before going out, I want to thank Jade Carter and Alex Linsky from MetaMed.com for joining us to talk about content optimization. And I want to thank the producers down in the studio in Florida at WebmasterRadio.fm. On behalf of Dave Davies from Beanstalk-Inc.com, this is Jim Hedger from MetaMed.com. You've been listening to Webcology on WebmasterRadio.fm. Stay tuned to WebmasterRadio.fm because in just about 20 minutes, Linda Woods is coming up with Affiliate Classroom. It's going to be an interesting show. We've got some great content here on the network. Stay tuned, and we'll talk to you next week.